Hello, you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with the Arizona Daily Sun for Tuesday, April 15th. I'm Flagstaff volunteer reader Julia. Front page articles include FUSD updated on personnel strategies, three finalists selected for Teacher of the Year, award finalists growing with their students, and seven daily record highs already set in 2025. The article we'll start with for today is three finalists selected for Teacher of the Year. The Coconino County Education Service Agency has announced three Flagstaff-based teachers as the finalists for the 2025 Teacher of the Year Award. All three finalists are teachers in the Flagstaff Unified School District, FUSD. They are Francie Salarte Soto of Coconino High School, Don Quamahongnewa of Liup Elementary School, and Joy Bruner of Demiguel Elementary. This year's finalists were selected from a group of 24 nominated teachers from across Coconino County. The winner will be announced at the 12th Annual Awards Ceremony on Thursday, April 17th, along with the Rookie Teacher of the Year and the winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award. Each finalist will be awarded a cash prize and a nomination for the Arizona Teacher of the Year Award. The 2025 Coconino County Teacher of the Year will be presented with a one-year leased vehicle from Flagstaff Findlay Toyota. The Teacher of the Year Award recognizes exceptional educators who are working with preschool through 12th grade students throughout the county. Joy Bruner. Joy Bruner has been teaching students at Demiguel Elementary for over a decade, as well as helping to lead the region's Odyssey of the Mind OM program. She has taught Demiguel since 2013, including every grade level from kindergarten through third grade, and she had previously substitute taught at the school. Bruner teaches Demiguel Elementary's First Grade Elementary Preparatory Academy EPA class, an accelerated program that has a dedicated classroom at every grade level in the school. It's been nice at Demiguel to be able to offer that to students who could really use a challenge and need some more rigor to push them along, Bruner said, because they're already high-achieving students, and so they just need that extra push to be able to grow even more. Bruner came to teaching after a previous career in business management. At one point, she decided to pursue work in education and completed two master's degrees at Northern Arizona University in elementary education and early childhood education. I guess I just have a passion for helping kids learn, and I feel like I'm good at it, so I decided to go that direction, she said. She said she particularly enjoys teaching younger students and first grade because it's a critical year for learning how to read, which is something she set as a mission for herself. She said her students' favorite part of the school day is often the core knowledge language arts curriculum, which includes vocabulary and other background knowledge in engaging lessons. They recently used this curriculum to learn about the American Revolution. Bruner described her teaching style as firm but loving. I set clear expectations, and they know that I mean what I say. I think that's good because then they know what to expect from me, she said. I have high expectations of my students. I always expect them to do their best, and I know that students are generally able to do way more than we sometimes give them credit for. So I try to push my students to show their best, she added. I always tell them that when we have challenges, their brains are just growing. In addition to teaching, Bruner is a coach for one of Demiguel's OM teams, and she and Stephanie Mansfield, a fourth grade teacher at the school, are the regional OM directors for Northern Arizona. They have been part of the program at the school since 2014. When her daughter was in third grade, Bruner and Mansfield both had kids who were participating in the school's OM program one year and decided to try coaching a team the next year. Bruner noted that both Mansfield and April Dent, another teacher at the school, have been impactful to her own work in education. DeMiguel has sent at least one team to the World Championships each year since the program restarted in 2023 after a COVID-19 pandemic-related pause. The school will be sending another team in this spring. Bruner also uses the non-competitive version of OM in her classroom. Her students are divided into three teams, with each working together to solve a problem. All three teams in her class participated in the Northern Region Tournament at DeMiguel last month, performing skits with handmade props, costumes, and a script written by the students. Since the tournament, students in Bruner's class have been continuing OM activities by working on spontaneous problems. OM can help students with critical thinking and creative problem solving in addition to building confidence, she said. They learn how to work together in a team, which is hard for young children. And I think they gain a lot of confidence because they realize we can do hard things, she said. They had to present their solution, which was their skit, in front of the judges and a big audience, and for some of them, that was their first time performing like that. Don Kwamahungnewa. Don Kwamahungnewa has worked in education for 17 years, with over half of them at Liap Elementary School. She'd originally planned to be a lawyer, but took a different path after coming across multiple teaching opportunities. She said this was likely inspired by her parents, who both worked in the local school and encouraged their children to be lifelong learners. Kwamahungnewa's immediate family has all worked in schools, her mother as a registrar, father as a librarian, and brothers as a special education aide and a music teacher. "It's from them that I learned the value of education," she said of her parents. "Even though we all thought I was going to do other things, it's really because they were in the education field. Dad said that we, as young people, have to go to school to be the voice, the eyes, to be the ears of the elders, and that was why I wanted to be a lawyer. But now I realize that through education and being a teacher, how many people I have helped or affected whose lives I've had a chance to be a part of and help them grow." Kwamahungnewa began working with kids during high school and college. After finishing an AmeriCorps position, she moved back to the Hopi Reservation, where she grew up, and began as a special education aide at the local school, where both of her parents worked. Kwamahungnewa's time in education also includes student teaching in the elementary school she attended as a child, teaching at Star School, substitute teaching at Killip Elementary, and 9 years so far at Liap. Liap is a part of FUSD, but is working almost 40 miles away from the city. Kwamahungnewa said she usually starts her day at 5 a.m., as the commute from her home to the school takes an hour and 15 minutes. Her first 3 years at Liap were teaching the school's multi-age classroom, which stayed with mostly the same students as they progressed through elementary school. She now teaches fourth grade. She said she's seen Liap change and grow in the years she's been teaching there, moving from a C school in the annual letter grades to a B close to becoming an A. The school had one of the district's largest score improvements in the 2022 to 2023 school year, jumping from a D to a B, and increased its score again last year. "It's so cool to see the change that I got to be a part of," she said. "We've made it such a good school." She said she takes a traditional Hopi approach to teaching, developing a warm relationship with her students and holding them accountable. "What I try to do a lot of the time with my kids is to have fun, to get them to laugh with me," she said. "I find that if I can get them to be happy with me, to see me as someone that isn't scary all the time, that they enjoy learning from me. Because we've built that relationship already, they know that even though I have to correct them or tell them to change or what to do better, they know that I'm not saying that to be mean to them or hurt their feelings. I think that because of that, they realize I'm a real person. Kwamahungnewa also incorporates Greek mythology and language into her lessons, using them as a unit to teach to English language arts standards. She double majored in anthropology and classical studies in college, choosing biological anthropology and ancient Greece for her emphasis. Her interest in the subject started when she was in elementary school, learning about Greek myths for the first time. I found a lot of connection between ancient Greek mythology and Hopi stories, she said. It was like, wow, these guys are just like us. So I wanted to learn all the stories. Those students don't usually learn world history in fourth grade. She uses the topic for an English unit. The class reads the Percy Jackson books and watches the movie and Greek myths, and they learn how to write their names in Greek, and group names in the classroom are often Greek letters. Kwamahungnewa explained that these activities teach students about comparing texts, phonemic awareness, and even a bit of the history of the alphabet. She said she hopes students leave her classroom knowing that learning never ends. I hope that they are truly lifelong learners, she said. I want them to know that they are able to and can be successful in things that they want to do. She added, it's not just being able to read and to write, but being able to do those things helps them be good people, helps them be good stewards of the earth, and take care of things so the earth keeps going and providing and keeps perpetuating people. They can't do that if they close themselves off to learning. Franci Salarte Soto. Franci Salarte Soto is a Spanish teacher at Coconino High School. Her current classes include Spanish for Spanish Speakers, International Baccalaureate Spanish 3, and a success class for multilingual learners. Next year, her Spanish 3 class will also be a dual enrollment course through which students can earn college credit. She incorporates several other topics and real-world activities in her language classes, encouraging students' involvement beyond the classroom. There is no more joy than having love for what it is you do, Salarte Soto wrote in response to questions. Despite the challenges faced in our profession, I'd rather focus my attention on what I can control. She encouraged other teachers to do the same and to demonstrate their commitment through supporting their students. She is originally from Colombia, where she earned her bachelor's degree before completing a Master's of Arts in teaching Spanish at NAU. She said her mentor teacher at NAU, Yuli Ascension Delaney, was especially influential to her career and how she encouraged her to think about lifelong learning as a practice for herself as well as her students. Yuli is a phenomenal educator, she said. She loves and enjoys her job. She is incredibly dedicated and hardworking, and she is willing to continue learning despite her long career in teaching. Ascension Delaney and Salarte Soto coordinate the Club for Spanish Teachers of Northern Arizona, which includes FUSD educators, as well as those working in other schools throughout the Flagstaff area. The club meets a few times each semester to share strategies and both successes and challenges for language teaching. Salarte Soto comes from a family of educators. Her mom and two uncles are both teachers. She said her experience learning a second language was a major influence on her interest in the process of language learning, as was watching her daughter learn two languages as a young child. She chose to teach high school because of the opportunity to see a student's growth between their freshman year and graduation, and to help them learn about post-secondary options. She also said high school is an age during which school travel will be meaningful. She took a group of students to Costa Rica last summer. One unit in her classes shows students different paths they might take after graduating, with guest speakers visiting to give examples from their own lives. Salarte Soto says she has an action-oriented teaching style, with students taking part in activities reaching beyond the classroom. Some projects in her classes include sending narratives to NAU language students, participating in a human rights letter writing campaign, or creating a brochure for other CHS students. These are intended to find an authentic audience, give students purpose, and create connections. I hope my students take away the understanding that they are more than just their grades or standardized test scores, she said. Grades and tests do not define them. Of course, we have assignments to complete and grades to submit, but in the end, I want my students to remember their work at the garden, the Hispanic recipes we prepared in class, appreciation for other cultures and languages, critical thinking, collaboration, not perfect verb conjugation or memorization of concepts. Solarte Soto said her favorite thing to teach is sustainability, which she has incorporated into her classes for 3 years now. I want to discuss with students how we can improve our quality of life without negatively impacting our planet, she said. They will be solving the challenges we face now and in the future. The class discusses the United Nations sustainability goals, and last year, the Spanish for Spanish Speakers 2 and IB senior class collaborated with Nicole Taylor's, then teaching at CHS, now FHS, multilingual class to work on the high school garden using a FUSD foundation grant. Solarte Soto said she wanted families and community organizations to know that educators want to work with them. We are fortunate to have a rich and diverse community in Flagstaff, she said. Parents, we want to bring your experiences to our classrooms, organizations around the county. We want to develop partnerships with you. Teachers, let us continue building a community of learners, not only among our students, but also among our parents, coworkers, and community leaders. And that was the article, Three Finalists Selected for Teacher of the Year. The next article is Award Finalists Growing with Their Students, Three FUSD Nominees for Rookie Teacher of the Year. The Coconino County Education Service Agency, CCESA, has recognized three in Flagstaff as Rookie Teacher of the Year finalists for 2025. The award recognizes exceptional teachers who are in their first 3 years working in a preschool through 12th grade classroom in Coconino County. CCESA added a Rookie Teacher of the Year award in 2018 to recognize the work of newer teachers, as a requirement of the Coconino County Teacher of the Year award is having at least 4 years of work and education. A total of five educators were nominated for this year's Rookie Teacher of the Year award, and three teachers in the Flagstaff Unified School District were selected as finalists in 2025, in Ella Stoll of Coconino High School, Christy Marshall of Thomas Elementary School, and Leslie Littlefield of Knowles Elementary. The winner of Rookie Award will be among those announced during the Teacher of the Year ceremony on Thursday, April 17th. Though she's always wanted to be a teacher since she was a child, Leslie Littlefield decided to enter the profession after volunteering at the school her children attended. Littlefield is now in her second year leading a classroom in Knowles Elementary's Beacon Special Education Program and says she plans to continue in it. She began volunteering as an assistant at the Montessori School of Flagstaff when her children attended there. She then spent about 5 years as a paraprofessional, including in her current classroom, before earning a SPED teaching certificate and beginning her work at Knowles. Littlefield said her mother, who also worked with students with autism, inspired her decision to go into special education. Hearing her and seeing what she did, I always found it fascinating, she said. When I started to be a para for students with special needs, I just found it really rewarding to help them and be there for them and give them all the support that they need. She said she's had a smooth transition into teaching. Because of her previous work as a paraprofessional in the same classroom, she was already familiar with the program. the other teachers, and even some students and families, as most remain in the class for multiple years. As a Beacon teacher, Littlefield works with 5 staff in a classroom of 9 students who have disabilities and are in kindergarten through 5th grade. The students are in her class all day, with some joining the general education classes for inclusion times for a short period. The majority of her students are nonverbal, so her instruction involves showing students how they can communicate their wants and needs through visuals, signed language, or using technology, augmentative or alternative communication, or AAC devices. They practice using the LAMP speech app, which has pictures connected to a variety of words, throughout the school day. For example, as a way to help students communicate and foster independence. Littlefield's work throughout the school day involves teaching both academics and skills to foster independence. The class spends time cooking every Friday, for example. I would like to get them skills to be as independent as possible and as happy, she said. I know academics are really important, but I think, for this group of students, working on practical life skills, such as dressing, putting your shoes on, or social skills, how to be around other people, how to ask for help, and also some self-advocacy skills of being able to stand up for yourself or asking for what your wants and needs are. So just teaching them those skills, I think, are crucial. Especially as they get older, they can take those skills into adulthood. This is also what she said she most enjoys about teaching so far. The best part of my job is seeing my students take some of those tools that I've given them and start doing things on their own, and not needing as much of our help or our prompting to do certain things for themselves, she said. That's really exciting when they can do things by themselves. Christy Marshall. Christy Marshall is in her first year teaching at Thomas Elementary School, having moved for the job after a year teaching in New Hampshire. She also taught preschool for over 4 years and was a substitute teacher during her last 2 years of college in Massachusetts. Marshall's interest in teaching started even earlier. In high school, she would help out as a teacher's aide in the kindergarten classrooms during her study hall periods. After graduating, she earned a Child Development Associate credential and worked at a daycare, which she said taught her about lesson planning and creating a safe and supportive learning environment. I love teaching, she said. This is definitely my calling. Marshall incorporates into her teaching classroom management techniques designed to be engaging to students, such as lineup songs, call and response, and Marshall Bucks, which her students use to pay rent on their desks and purchase items from the class store. I feel like my classroom management style is definitely targeted towards elementary school, she said. I think my energy fits well with these kids because they also have fun with it. She said her favorite subject to teach is phonics, particularly the science of reading method, which has been a focus for FUSD in recent years. Marshall said her approach to teaching starts with connecting with students and creating an engaging and safe, loving environment. This can then contribute to their academic success, she argued. I want my students to be able to look back and remember the time we spent in our classroom, Marshall said, as well as helping them prepare for the future, teaching them those real-world lessons that they're going to have to approach at some point in life. Marshall said her own second grade teacher, Miss Olsch, holds a similar place in her memory, both because of her classroom activities and her calming and welcoming approach to education. I remember lots of hands-on learning, and she managed the class really well, so there was also mutual respect between student and teacher, she said, adding that this was a dynamic she tries to create in her own class. These kids, they're focused on learning. They're excited to learn. She said, I have so many kids that are sad to go home on the weekend because they just want to be at school. That's one thing I want to continue to cultivate. I want them to look forward to coming to school and learning because I've made learning fun. Ella Stoll teaches in a self-contained special education class for 9th through 12th graders at Coconino High School. She has 6 students in her class who stay with her throughout the entire day. The class includes practicing life skills and sign language for nonverbal students as well as academics. She teaches every subject to her students, working with them at their current level. Stoll said one of her favorite things to teach her students is social studies. They talk about current events using adaptive newspapers and photos and occasionally a hands-on activity. "I really just enjoy teaching them about what's going on in the world," the finalist said. Stoll described her teaching style as flexible and patient, adapting to her students' needs each day. "I push everyone to their best ability, but I know when things aren't just going to happen that day," she said. "So being able to take a step back and really focus on what's best for that student in the moment. You just have to have a lot of flexibility and not be super hard and fast to your plans." Stoll first found an interest in teaching special education while she was in middle school, at which she was a teaching assistant for a self-contained classroom similar to the one she currently works in at CHS. Stoll then helped star an adaptive art program at her high school, in which students with and without disabilities partnered to create an art show. "From that moment on, I knew I wanted to do it," she said. "I have always kind of had a calling to do this. I knew this is what I wanted to do early on and got right to it." This was in Alaska, where Stoll grew up. She moved to Flagstaff for college because of Northern Arizona University's Praxis program, which is a school-based program combining elementary and special education. As part of her studies, she completed both student teaching and practicum placements in FUSD schools. Now in her second year of teaching, Stoll began her role at CHS after graduating college. While the first year was quite the challenge, she said she had support from her school and that the second year is going well. "Once you get the first year under your belt, you feel way more confident," she said, "and I had so many amazing people to help me out. Mr. Lang Subi, he teaches life skills, and he immediately took me under his wing and showed me all these things." Stoll has plans to continue working in special education, saying, "I love it here. Special education is so important, and it's such a great program to be involved in," she said. "There are so many ways to support students with disabilities in our community, and I just feel grateful to get to be a part of these kids' lives." And that was the article, "Award Finalists Growing with Their Students." You're listening to the Arizona Daily Sun from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also get our stream and on-demand programs with the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. The next article is FUSD updated on personnel strategies. FUSD here's update on plans to increase employment, recruitment, and retention. The Flagstaff Unified School District, FUSD, Governing Board heard an update on recruitment and retention strategies for district employees at its meeting Tuesday, April 8th. The meeting agenda includes a list of 9 trends and goals the district is trying to respond to over the next 5 years with this plan. It includes agility, employee engagement, strategic partnerships, technology, and enhanced programs and services. "Over the next 5 years, we're going to be navigating some big picture challenges tied to our leadership development, workforce, sustainability, and budget realities. And we're hoping that some of our pathways that we developed really help to place us in a more strategic position to continue to recruit and retain employees," said Don Anderson, Human Resources Director at FUSD, who presented the item to the board. The district has been adding creative recruitment strategies, such as social media, joining virtual job fairs across the country, and new marketing materials. FUSD also hosted its first pre-service conference and job fair this year. About 65 pre-service teachers attended certificate-related training through the district, and 120 went to the job fair. It is also working to expand its retention strategies, developing the onboarding program to include all types of employees and beginning a stay interview program. The district already has an onboarding program for certified staff, as well as a new teacher mentoring program. We're working to expand the onboarding program to all of our staff, so that it's not just teachers, so everyone gets that consistent welcome and the resources they need to be successful in their jobs, Anderson said. And the new hires get information ahead of their first day, are able to connect with their teams, their leaders, and hear directly from their coworkers to get a better start and kickoff to working within the district. The Stay Interview Program involves surveying current district employees about why they are staying with FUSD, providing the district additional information about successes, shortcomings, and needs it can use to make changes. FUSD also conducts climate and culture and exit surveys, as well as both listening and feedback circles, which can be used alongside these results. Board member Courtney Zisger asked about the district's strategies for classified staff and how it has been addressing substitute availability. Anderson said the district has been looking at options for classified staff through a variety of positions are included in the category. FUSD is developing an onboarding structure that includes the topics all employees need to be trained on, such as safety, she said. For the different positions, the goal is to develop resources and support networks so new staff has somewhere to ask questions and learn what's relevant to their role. It's a lot bigger undertaking because there are so many types of positions, but we are working towards creating all those systems and structures for all employees, she said. Anderson then outlined two changes the district is making based on feedback from substitutes. It is moving to a new platform for shift assignments, which allows the substitutes to accept shifts online rather than through an automated call early in the morning. FUSD is also developing its training for substitutes, as well as a consistent system across district schools and ensuring that teachers are leaving comprehensive plans for them to use. A recording of this meeting can be viewed at vimeo.com/FUSD1, with this item beginning around 2 hours and 25 minutes into the April 8th meeting. The full recruitment and retention plan is in the meeting agenda at go.boarddocs.com/az/FUSD1/board.nsf/public. And that was the article, FUSD Updated on Personnel Strategies. The next article for today is 7 daily record highs already set in 2025. The first 2 weeks of April have been a mix of hot and cold in Flagstaff, with the snow to begin the month followed soon after by a few daily record highs this past week. Just 8 days after the daily high reached only 34 degrees, tied for the 33rd lowest daily high ever in the month of April, thanks to the 4.3 inches of snow that fell across 2 days. April 10th and 11th become two of Flagstaff's 6 hottest days in the first half of the month, in addition to surpassing their all-time daily highs of 74 and 75 degrees respectively. Thursday and Friday's high of 76 landed behind only 2 days from April 1989 and one from April 1898 in the first 15 days of the month. The month's all-time high between April 1st and 15th came on April 7th, 1989, the earliest Flagstaff has seen an 80-degree day for a calendar year. Only a high of 78 on April 8, 1989, and 77 on April 15, 1898, finished as hotter days through the first 15 days of April, in addition to a high of 76 on April 15, 1936, matching this past Thursday and Friday. The daily record highs for April 10th and April 11th join five other daily record highs recorded in Flagstaff through the first 101 days of the year. After January 2nd's 63 degrees beat a high of 59 set in 1981, February 23rd and February 24th surpassed daily highs set in 1989, with highs of 65 and 66 respectively. March 24th and 25th, with highs of 71 and 72, respectively, surpassed or tied records set in 1956 and 1988. With seven daily records set or tied in 2025, Flagstaff has already surpassed the five daily record highs set or tied between January 1st and September 25th in 2024. While there were just five record days the first 269 days of 2024, 11 daily records were set or tied in the span of 13 days between September 26th and October 8th, due to the heat wave near the beginning of fall last year. Two additional daily highs in December brought Flagstaff to a total of 18 daily records set or tied in 2024, which ended up as one of the warmest years on record for the city. For 2025, the average daily high of 50.2 degrees is tied for the 13th warmest of all time through the first 101 days of the year, and the average temperature of 35.5 degrees is tied for 16th. Both rankings have dropped slightly since the end of March, even with the warming trend from last week, moving down from the 11th highest daily maximum and 14th highest average temperature in the first 3 months of the year. While April 9th through 11th registered as the three hottest days of the year so far, temperatures will drop back to around normal daily highs as the chance of rain showers arrives on Tuesday. A high of 65 degrees is forecast by the National Weather Service on Tuesday, followed by 66 on Wednesday and 58 on Thursday. The NWS office in Belmont also has the chances of precipitation increasing into the weekend, with chances of rain and snow listed for Friday and Saturday as highs land in the high 40s. And that was the article, Seven Daily Record Highs Already Set in 2025. Now we will be sharing an obituary in memory of Cal McCloy, August 22, 1952 to March 30, 2025. Cal J. McCloy, a beloved husband, son, brother, cousin, uncle, and friend, passed away on March 30, 2025 at the age of 72. An Arizona native, Cal was born in Tucson on August 22, 1952, to Ira and Della McCloy, and grew up in Phoenix. He attended college at Arizona State University and Northern Arizona University. He worked for the power company in Phoenix before transferring to Flagstaff as an operations supervisor. When his department closed, he was transferred back to Phoenix, but his love for Flagstaff inspired him to stay and pursue a new career in real estate. Cal and Diane met in Flagstaff in 1984, and the rest is history. They married on June 7, 1986, at the Elks Lodge in Flagstaff, and had a beautiful partnership for 40 years. Diane was the love of his life, and through every challenge and triumph, their love remained constant, and they cherished every moment shared together. Cal had a 40-plus year career in real estate. He was a longtime designated broker at Arizona Mountain Properties. He continued his career at West USA and concluded his career as the training broker at Realty Executives of Northern Arizona. He and his wife, Diane, were deeply committed to serving their community, with Cal volunteering for many organizations, including the Flagstaff Medical Center, Amberwood HOA Board, and the Flagstaff Airport Commission. He also served on various committees for the local and regional realtor associations, including 10 years as chairman of the NAAR Grievance Committee. Cal was a simple man with a heart full of love and laughter. He was known for his sharp wit and incredible sense of humor. Though often quiet, when Cal did speak, his words were always memorable, whether it was a witty one-liner or valuable insight. He had a passion for life and loved traveling. Whether it was road trips, fishing trips, chasing monsoons, or cruising to new destinations with his wife Diane, he loved playing Texas Hold'em whenever he had the chance and enjoyed the time spent with his poker groups. Cal's curly hair was his trademark in his younger years, later replaced by his signature button-up collared shirts. Cal was preceded in death by his parents, Ira and Della McCloy, father-in-law Ed Nowitzki, sisters Kitsy Willis and Carol Snyder, and brother-in-law Chuck McIver. Cal is survived by his loving wife, Diane McCloy, mother-in-law, Leslie Nowitzki, brothers-in-law, Bill McIver and Ed McIver, and many cousins, nieces, and nephews who adored him. A celebration of life will be held on Friday, April 25th, 2025, from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Elks Lodge, 2101 North San Francisco Street, Flagstaff. Cal will forever be remembered for the way he cherished his family and friends, amused everyone around him, and lived his life to the fullest. He was a one-of-a-kind man, and he is deeply missed by all that knew and loved him. Condolences may be shared with the family at NorvalOwensMortuary.com. Now we will be reading an obituary in memory of Doris Pritchard. December 24, 1927 to April 6, 2025. Doris May Frank Pritchard passed away on April 6, 2025 at her home in Flagstaff, AZ. She was born at home on Christmas Eve, 1927, near Oil City, PA, daughter of the late Floyd E. Frank and Edna Brock Frank. Doris moved to Mesa in 1962 and to Flagstaff in 1968. She was a member of the Trinity Heights United Methodist Church. Doris enjoyed being with her family, being outside in her flower garden, playing cards, watching Diamondbacks, watching TV game shows, Phoenix Suns, Arizona Cardinals, and golf. She worked at Woolworths and Quaker State in Pennsylvania, Motorola in the Valley, and NAU Food Service in Flagstaff, many years of that as the manager of the Timber Inn on North Campus. She is survived by four children, Cindy McCauley of Flagstaff, Susan Smith and her husband Dana of Cottonwood, Lori Scheifler and her husband Daniel of Prescott Valley, and Dennis Pritchard and his wife Bree of Anthem. Also surviving are 12 grandchildren and many great-grandchildren. Funeral services will be in Pennsylvania. The family would like to give special thanks to the Compassus Hospice team. Condolences may be shared with the family at NorvalOwensMortuary.com. Now we will be reading an obituary in memory of John Benavides, November 6, 1953 to March 8, 2025. John Benavides passed away on March 8, 2025, at the age of 71. He was an avid outdoorsman who enjoyed backpacking, especially in the Grand Canyon, camping, and hiking. His other hobbies included a lifelong love for skiing, cooking, where he earned the nickname Chef from his camping buddies, and running, where he completed several marathons. During his lifetime, John primarily resided in Arizona, but also spent periods of time in California and Florida. John was a graduate of Northern Arizona University and enjoyed a long and successful career with Procter & Gamble. John is survived by his wife, Socorro Benavides, two daughters, Allison McCormley and Lindsay Hall, sister Rosemary Magana, and four grandchildren. Services will be held in Flagstaff on Friday, April 25th at San Francisco de Assis Roman Catholic Church. The rosary will be at 10 a.m., followed by Mass at 10:30 a.m. Now we will move on to read a segment of news briefs. State foresters complete timber removal projects south of Flag. The Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management, DFFM, has completed two timber removal projects on U.S. Forest Service lands south of Flagstaff recently. Both projects are located within the area of the Four Forest Restoration Initiative, 4FRI, a joint project of the Coconino, Tonto, Apache Sitgreaves, and Kaibab National Forests to reduce wildfire risk and improve forest health. The Baker timber sale, initiated in May 2022 on the Coconino National Forest's Mogollon Rim Ranger District, included approximately 1,000 acres near Happy Jack. The Pocopino timber sale began in January 2024 on the Tonto National Forest's Payson Ranger District and included 718 acres east of Pine. DFFM was the primary contractor for thinning and timber harvesting operations on both parcels under the Forest Service's Good Neighbor Authority GNA program, which enables partnerships with state forestry agencies. The completion of these projects marks a significant achievement in proactive forest management, DFFM's GNA program manager, Christine Maris, said in a press release. The Good Neighbor Authority program is proud to be increasing pace and scale to protect our state's priorities, including community water resource protection. These projects highlight the successes of collaborative efforts between the state and federal agencies, private partners, and conservation stakeholders. Scott Rogers, 4FRI project manager for the Forest Service, stated, "Through the Good Neighbor Authority, DFFM serves as a critical partner in meeting the Forest Service's goal of active forest management in northern Arizona. DFFM plays an important role in providing implementation efficiencies while ensuring these projects are met to federal standards and protection measures for a sustainable forest. Most importantly, this cooperative approach helps the Forest Service meet its hazardous fuel reduction goal while supporting the vital timber industry necessary to reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfire to our communities and watersheds." President Donald Trump issued an executive order last month instructing the U.S. Forest Service to facilitate increased timber production, including the potential adoption of categorical exclusions to the National Environmental Protection Act. Following that order, new Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, declared an emergency situation last week on over 100 million acres of Forest Service lands, roughly 59% of the agency's total managed area, in order to expedite timber sales and logging. Both of the projects recently completed by DFFM began prior to these declarations. Whether the executive and secretarial orders will remain in significantly accelerated sales or harvesting of timber in northern Arizona remains to be seen. Coconino National Forest conducting up to four burn projects. The Coconino National Forest plans to conduct up to four prescribed burn projects between April 14th and 18th to reduce hazardous forest fuels and reduce the risk of wildfire to multiple northern Arizona communities. Prescribed burns are always dependent upon multiple conditions, such as personnel availability, fuel conditions, such as weather and approval from the Arizona Department of Environment Quality. Prescribed burns may be changed or canceled last minute if burn conditions do not meet criteria outlined in advance. If wind and weather conditions become unfavorable, ignitions will be halted and project plans will be postponed, changed, or canceled. On Monday, 503 acres were starting to be burned as part of the Flagstaff Urban Interface South, Campbell Mesa, located 7 miles east of Flagstaff, adjacent to the neighborhoods of Continental and Country Club. The burn might have heavy smoke impacts to Dooney Park and Cusnino, as well as Interstate 40. Some trails within the Campbell Mesa system within the burn area will be closed as a result of the project. On Monday or Tuesday, 840 acres will be burned, 1.5 miles north of Belmont, as part of the Horseshoe Maxwell Springs project. Smoke could impact U.S. Highway 180 around the Fort Valley area during the day. At night, smoke may impact Belmont and the I-40 in the Belmont area. Between Tuesday and Thursday, 2,008 acres will be burned 10 miles east of the village of Oak Creek, just south of Stoneman Lake, for the Upper Beaver Creek project. Ignitions during the day will produce smoke visible from I-17 north of Camp Verde and south of Munns Park. Smoke will also be visible from Stoneman Lake Road and the Stoneman Lake community, potentially settling into the Beaver Creek drainage to the south and shift east to Lake Mary Road and the Happy Jack area. Though there are no associated official closures, the U.S. Forest Service encourages the public to stay out of the immediate surrounding area, and overnight camping and recreation activities could be smoky. The next article is Flagstaff to celebrate International Dark Sky Week with stargazing, live music, and more. Flagstaff, the first international dark sky city, will host a celebration during International Dark Sky Week from April 21st to 27th. Organized by the Flagstaff Dark Skies Coalition and its partners, the celebration will highlight the region's commitment to preserving national night skies through nightly stargazing events, the arts, community gatherings, an owl prowl, and a commemorative craft brew. Before the week officially begins, Sunset Crater Volcano National Monument is offering a presentation in the Lava Flow Trail Amphitheater, followed by a constellation tour and stargazing with telescopes. Beginning at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 19th, all events are free, coinciding with the start of National Park Week. Other events during the week include Monday, April 21st, at 7 p.m. at the Coconino Center for the Arts, the Dark Sky Quartet will perform a free concert, The Planets and Beyond, arranged for the string quartet by David Koerner and presented in partnership with Creative Flagstaff. The musical selections in the CCA Theater will be accompanied by projections of planets and other celestial objects, followed by stargazing outdoors on the grounds of CCA. Tuesday, April 22nd, Flagstaff Dark Skies Coalition and Northern Arizona Audubon Society will hold a free owl prowl at 6:30 p.m. in Thorpe Park, followed by stargazing. Dark nights are the perfect time to look for owls on a gentle hike led by the birders. Afterward, telescopes and their hosts will be near the Joe C. Montoya Community and Senior Center. Wednesday, April 23rd. Mother Road Brewing Company will unveil its special edition craft beer at 7 p.m., a hoppy red ale called Skylight City with $5 pours to commemorate Flagstaff's starlit skies. Telescope viewing will follow outside on the patio. Thursday, April 24th, Downtown Business Alliance and the Downtown Flagstaff Foundation will host Starlight in the Square on Heritage Square. The event begins at sunset, with tickets are available at downtownflagstaff.org/events/starlight-in-the-square. Friday, April 25th, the Museum of Northern Arizona will offer free after-hour stargazing in the Colton Community Garden, beginning with a 7 p.m. presentation by night botany research specialist Jan Busco on night pollinators and bloomers. Saturday, April 26th, the Orpheum Theater, site of the 17th Annual Viola Awards presented by Creative Flagstaff, will open its patio to telescope viewing after the awards program for ticketed Viola Awards attendees. For tickets, visit creativeflagstaff.org/Viola/2025-Viola-Awards. Saturday, April 27th, the week will conclude under the stars with free laser-guided star tours and telescope viewing at Buffalo Park from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. The full schedule and event details can be found at flagstaffdarkskies.org/international-dark-sky-week. And that was the article, Flagstaff to Celebrate International Dark Sky Week. AZ Attorney General to host town hall on federal budget cuts today. Arizona Attorney General Kristen Mayes will host a town hall in Flagstaff on Tuesday to discuss federal funding cuts and the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, led by Elon Musk. The event will take place at the Coconino Center for the Arts, 2300 North Fort Valley Road, from 6 to 8 p.m. A spokesperson for Mayes said the Attorney General will provide crucial updates to constituents on federal lawsuits and the damaging effects of harmful budget cuts proposed by Donald Trump and Elon Musk and ongoing efforts to fight back against these policies that threaten Arizona families. Flagstaff residents have turned out repeatedly to protest Trump administration actions and Musk's influence over the past 3 months. Most recently, an estimated 2,500 people participated in the hands-off protest on Saturday, April 5th, as part of a nationwide day of demonstrations. Earlier protests challenged the firing of federal employees and Arizona Representative Eli Crane's support for Trump's agenda. Attendees of the town hall are encouraged but not required to RSVP. The form can be accessed at bit.ly/3GALFRL. And that was the news brief, AZ Attorney General to host town hall on federal budget cuts today. That's all the time we have for the Arizona Daily Sun. For Sun Sounds of Arizona and Flagstaff, I'm volunteer reader Julia. Thanks for listening.